You know, when you hear about a housing crisis, the fix usually sounds like, well, just simple math.
Right, just count the families.
Exactly. Count the families without homes, build that exact number of houses, and boom, problem solved. But step into the actual reality of urban planning, and that simple equation completely falls apart.
Yeah, it really does.
So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at South Africa's 2015 Policy Foundation for Human Settlements. And our mission today is really to understand why simply giving someone four walls and a roof is just absolutely not enough to solve a systemic housing crisis.
Well, if you look at South Africa post-1994, they actually pulled off this massive logistical achievement. I mean, they provided over 3.5 million housing opportunities.
Which is huge.
It is huge. Yet the government's own policy documents actually admit that these settlements remain heavily dysfunctional.
See, delivering 3.5 million homes is amazing, but it's kind of like building bedrooms without a house.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Right. You give someone a place to sleep, but you totally ignore the kitchen for food or the living room for connection or even the hallways to move around. In a city, those missing rooms are, you know, the clinics, the schools, jobs, and transport networks.
Exactly. And the push for sheer numbers forced this geographic compromise because, well, land on the urban periphery was cheap, right?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
So state-funded houses were pushed to the outskirts, and this unintentionally reinforced apartheid-era geography and just made urban sprawl so much worse.
Wow.
It also violated the UN Habitat's definition of adequate housing. That definition strictly mandates location accessibility.
Right, because if you're cut off from employment and healthcare, your housing isn't practically adequate, no matter how sturdy the actual roof is.
Exactly. And that physical isolation directly feeds into a massive economic disconnect. It basically created this economic black hole. I mean, the state invested 300 billion rand into the property market through this housing initiative over the years.
Okay, wait, I have to push back there for a second. If the state injected 300 billion rand into property, how is that massive amount of cash not moving the national GDP needle? I mean, that's huge.
Well, it comes down to what economists call dead capital.
Dead capital.
Yeah. A staggering 1 million of these state-provided properties completely lack title deeds.
Oh, wow. So no legal ownership.
None. And without legal paperwork, a home cannot be leveraged. You can't use it as collateral for a bank loan to start a business or pay for education.
So the poor were given physical assets, but remain completely locked out of the formal property market.
Exactly. They have wealth, but it's entirely frozen. And desperate for liquidity, some even sell these subsidized houses informally for like as little as 5,000 rand.
That's heartbreaking. But the dysfunction doesn't just affect the absolute poorest citizens, right? It stretches right up into working class wages.
Right, the gap market.
Yeah, the gap market. These are households earning between roughly 3,500 and 15,000 rand a month. So they make way too much for free government housing, but too little to get a traditional mortgage.
Yeah. At those wages, buyers can really only afford homes priced around 165,000 rand. And private developers simply won't build at that price point because, you know, the construction and land costs leave virtually zero profit margin.
So the private sector ignores them,
Yep.
state housing misses them, and this entire missing middle is just trapped.
Precisely. And to break out of this trap, the frozen capital, the trapped middle class, the physical isolation, the 2015 policy calls for a total paradigm shift by 2030 and 2050.
Right. They realized they had to stop treating housing as just a shelter and actually start treating it as an ecosystem.
Yeah, the whole strategy pivots to compact, transit-oriented development.
Yeah.
Instead of building out, they are focusing on densification, you know, building up.
Anything's more concentrated.
Exactly. And crucially, it means upgrading informal settlements right where they are, close to existing jobs, rather than just relocating people to the middle of nowhere.
Which makes so much more sense.
It really does. It also mandates integrating light and heavy rail so the workforce can actually move around effectively.
So what does this all mean for you, whether you're listening in South Africa or really anywhere else in the world?
Well, it highlights how infrastructure and public spaces silently dictate your daily quality of life.
Yeah, the layout of your environment literally decides your opportunities.
We are watching a fundamental evolution from a purely welfare housing model, you know, just handing out keys to a concrete block,
Right.
moving toward an integrated economic and spatial strategy that is actually meant to build functional, wealthy communities.
Because solving a housing crisis isn't just about counting houses. It's about measuring the connections between them.
Absolutely.
So think about the layout of your own city for a minute. What invisible lines were drawn by past infrastructure decisions, and how might they still dictate who gets to build wealth today and who merely gets shelter?